Lord will keep us safe. Well, there's a lot of people dying, a lot of people. Turn Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians. Study this. Book of Galatians. It almost is my favorite. I'm telling you, I have learned so much by studying you. The wonderful writings that Paul sent to the churches at Galatia. He tells us in chapter 1 that there are more than one church. When he wrote the letter to Thessalonica, to the church of Thessalonica. But now he addresses, he's writing this letter to the churches. Because on his first missionary journey, Paul's first missionary journey that the Lord sent him on, he went to the southern part. Galatia is a province or an area of Asia Minor, and is present-day Turkey. And I have been to Turkey, and that's where the churches were that Paul's writing to. And on that first missionary journey, he went to the southern region. There's two major regions at that day and time, the southern region and the northern region. And at the same time, God used him mightily. So as he's visiting there, he has established churches. God used him to establish not one church, but no doubt many churches. So he is writing there. Let's read the text together in the book of Galatians. We look at this beautiful portion of God's word, and I'm so encouraged because just as he wrote to the church of Galatia, he's also writing to us this morning. To the church of a living God, and you and I are part of that. First of all, he tells us about the credentials, Paul's credentials. He wasn't accepted in a lot of places. Remember, he was that one that had fought the churches of a living God back in Jerusalem, and he had went to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, to do the same, to hurt. And remember, he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. It was Saul in those days, before God changed his name, that held the coats and encouraged those others to stone Stephen to death. And then when God found him, and he did find him, and he used him, we're going to look at that this morning. But he had a problem, and a lot of people were still afraid of him, no doubt. So God sent him out to the wilderness and trained him through the precious word of God. He already knew the word of God. He just didn't know how to rightly divide the word of God. So God, the Holy Spirit, helped him in that regard. And then he go back to Jerusalem. So his credentials are told to us in the first verse, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul now is telling the church at Galatia that this is not from me. And the message this morning from the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I've been established. My credentials are I've been called. I've been set apart. Not only was his credentials of the Lord, but look at verse 2. The churches in Galatia now were struggling. As you read the book of Galatians, it seemed as though he told them, have you so quickly turned away? You believe in Christ alone, and now you're adding things to it. Same things happened in America throughout centuries of time. So the title of the message this morning is In Christ Alone. A lot of people try to add to it. Some people want to say, well, it's Christ plus keeping the Sabbath. Or it's Christ plus doing good work. No, he lets us know in Galatia, it's Christ plus nothing. And he's going to let that be very much established in the precious word of God. So there was two regions he was writing to. Now, on the first missionary journey, he went to the southern part. But on the second and third missionary journeys, he went to the northern part and to the southern part. So now his ministry is throughout Galatia, throughout that whole area. And God has a work to do. Say, well, how did this one letter get to all those churches? God wouldn't have a problem with that. look through the avenues of time and see how God has got His Word is an errant, infallible, inspired Word to you and I in the course of all the centuries. It's been bought. People were killed that tried to produce and translate, and they did translate. The Holy Spirit helped man to translate from the Hebrew into the Greek. But now the world and Satan didn't like that, so with having martyred, he'd have them killed. Paul is letting them know that the church was established by Jesus Christ. And he had no problem at all getting this message to them, whether it was a copy of a letter or the same letter. I don't know. It don't matter. God is an arrangement of all those things. So we've seen his credentials. We've seen the church at Galatia. But also let's look at the calling and certification. In the first chapter of Galatia, he tells us that he has been called by God. A lot of people didn't believe that. And today, when preachers preach, or when teachers teach us, what authority do they have? Well, God is the authority. He just uses people. Look at the 11th verse. Calling and certification. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The certification I have is the anointing and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ upon my life. That's my credential. That's my calling for his church. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful man didn't get to him when God was using him so mightily to write these letters and to write the much of the New Testament that was of God, called by God, the credentials and the edification came from him and not of man. Verse 13 says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Confession. What a lot of us need to do, confess our fault. And even though he was saved now, he was called of God, he had a ministry, but yet he knew that he had a reputation. And by man's standards, you never get over that, do you? That's why it's so important. Everywhere he went, no doubt, that's the same man. That Saul is the same man that used to persecute the church. And then they wondered. Satan always tried to place doubt in people's minds about Paul, who was Saul. And that's why it's so important for you and I to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He promises our labor will not be in vain in the Lord when we do that. So our reputation. Do we make mistakes? Of course we do. Did Paul make mistakes after he was saved? Of course he did. But God is the one that's going to justify, and God is the one that's going to forgive. Verse 14, and here profited in the Jewish religion above many, my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. The grace of God, he said, separated me in my mother's womb. See, all these years that Saul had been training and learning and knowing the Bible and putting it in his head, God wanted to use that and transfer it to his heart. And he did that thing. And now he says this calling didn't come just suddenly. It came to me suddenly, but God ordained it while I was in my mother's womb. Well, there's so many instances in the Word of God that we see that when even when John the Baptist was in his mother's womb and Elizabeth heard about Jesus coming through Mary, the babe leaped in his mother's womb. Don't tell me and try to tell people that's Christians that it's all right to kill babies in the womb or even up to birth. It's a sad thing. The Bible is so set against that. And Paul says, from my mother's womb have I been called. Why? Verse 16, to reveal this son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go to religion once he was called of God. He went to the Word of God. He already had copies. He knew what God had said. And now he had witnessed and he had felt and he had been able to understand that Christ Jesus and him alone. Now his job is to go to the heathen, to Galatia, and to different parts of the world. Remember one time he had in his mind, he knew this bunch of heathen even farther up north, and he wanted to go there, but God said, no, you aren't going there. And as a result, God sent him to Europe, and God sent him to our forefathers because God looked ahead, don't you see? And you wonder, don't even wonder why God would not allow him to go to certain areas to preach, because God knew they wouldn't accept it. And God looked ahead in the avenue of the time and saw you. He saw me and saw other Christians in this part of the world and other parts of the world that would accept and receive the gospel and promote the gospel. God is doing everything right. There's no mistakes with God. And you and I have the opportunity. If you go to present day Turkey where this was, boy, there's no churches out there now. In fact, if you were to get on the street promoting or preaching Christ, you would be in jail real quick. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that one of the first missionary journeys they took was to this part of the world and how God was madly saving people and established churches, and now those areas are shut off. Wonder what it will be in America if God doesn't come in the next 50 years. Some of you sitting here today, if things keep going in the world and like it is in America right now, I'm not a prophet of gloom, but I'm telling you, your children and your grandchildren will be going through the same thing, if not worse, that they're going through in Turkey today. Why? Because this chapter in chapter 1 and 2 and 3 tells us that we have to promote Christ alone. Anything added to it? The false religion. Oh, I believe in Christ, but add to it something else. Not for salvation, it's Christ. Less nothing. We'll get into that this morning. We're just in introduction phase now. Let's get into the message now and see what God would have us learn. In Christ alone, first of all, he tells us in verses 2, chapter 2. Let's go over to chapter 2. And we're to esteem highly the conditions and the calling and the commitment God has given to us. See, God gave a commitment to Paul. And he made much of it. His job, as we'll see, was to go to the Gentile. And then we'll look at another. There was Peter. And it seems as though his calling was to go to the Jews. God has a calling for us. And whatever the calling is, we're to esteem highly the things that God commits to us. So what's God committed to us? First thing, he's committed to your salvation, if you're saved. And then for you to help your spouse and for you to help your children. If your parents aren't saved, for you. God has committed to us salvation and the opportunity to witness. Esteem it highly. God wants you and I to put on the top of our vocabulary the things he has committed to us. Now, and it's different for each person. We'll find out this morning in God's word that it was different to Paul than it was to Peter. There's one Savior, one gospel, but God uses people in different places. This church, God has called us to promote the gospel, to be a light unto the world. And different churches have ministries, all feeding the hungry and preaching salvation. But God uses, if you look closely, there's different callings and different opportunities in different communities. There was different opportunities in northern Galatia, in that area, than southern Galatia. The southern part was cities. If you go to the southern part of Galatia back in those days, there was cities and commerce. But if you went to the northern part, it was agricultural areas and little small cities. And no doubt they had different customs in different ways. Same gospel worked in every area. So today, whether it's in this church or other church, we're different. people are different in the north and the south, the east and the west, all over the world. We're different, but God has a purpose. He has a ministry. And whatever the commitment He has given you and me, we're to esteem it highly. We're to put it first in their life. Let's look at the text together. Whether it's rearing children or preaching. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberties, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Isn't that something? Religion trying to hurt. Remember, whether it was Paul, whether it was Cephas, whether it was Peter, whoever it was promoting the gospel, they were supposed to be in one mind and one accord. God uses us differently because people are differently. But at the same time, a lot of them tried to tear down, to falsify, to make null and void the work of God. Why? Well, look at the world today, how it tries to divide, and even in religion. So that's our testimony. Whatever God has given you and I, we're to esteem it highly. But not only that, the effect of our work and of our testimony affects so many other people. We'll see that in just a minute. You see, Peter was out promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when Paul first was called to the ministry, he went and conveyed and talked to Peter 15 days, the Bible tells us. And no doubt it was something. Can you imagine sitting down with that great man, Peter? And I don't know, he wasn't one to brag about it, but if he was asked, he would probably have told you about it. Peter, what was it like when Jesus bid you come out of the boat and you had faith enough to walk on the water? And when you hear him tell about it, he wasn't boasting about it, but then you'd want to know, how come you took your eyes off the Lord and you sank? Well, when you sank, what started happening then? Oh, he just reached and got me and lifted me back up. Boy, you could learn a lot from Peter, couldn't you? And what about that great message he preached at Pentecost? Just to be around a man like Paul now, who knew the Word of God, but he's fresh in the ministry, just to sit around at the feet of Peter and hear him testify how God had ordained his preaching and 3,000 got saved in one message. Wow, that would be something, wouldn't it? So now Paul had experienced all that, and the effect of our testimony affects others. Let's read the text together. Look at verse 7 in Galatians chapter 2. Read verse 6 to start with. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. The text just told us that God committed different areas to different men. He said, Paul, you go into the Gentile world, to the heathen, that don't even believe there is a God, or probably worship dozens of other gods. I can use you. And then the scripture just told us that Peter was commissioned and committed the task of preaching the gospel to the Jews. But now the two must meet, because in Jerusalem, they all agreed that whether you were Jew or Gentile, it was in Christ alone. Circumcision had nothing else to do with it. And yet they were, and Peter agreed with that, and the others agreed with that while they were in Jerusalem. Now we're going to find out when they get into a different place like Antioch, Peter starts hedging on it. Now wait a minute. Peter, the one that walked on water, the one that preached great sermons and got anointed, he made a mistake. He sure did. And we're going to see, no matter who you are, and no matter how strong you think you are, or no matter how great an evangelist or preacher may be, there's only one gospel. And we must look at that gospel, and you'll find out that the gospel is in Christ alone, no matter who you're with. And now we're going to look at the effect. If you aren't like that, what great effect that has on other people and the testimony thereof. Let's read the text together in verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. They all agreed. There's different ministries, different commitments that God has given you and He's given us. But it's one gospel, Christ alone plus nothing. They all knew that. God uses them to go to different places. But there's just one gospel. Keep reading. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Why was he to be blamed? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of this circumcision. You see, he preached one thing, and yet he was not brave enough, wouldn't stand tall enough to say, it's Christ plus nothing. And Jerusalem, they agreed. Now they come to Antioch. And he was ashamed or afraid to eat with the Gentiles, the ones that didn't believe in circumcision. Why? Because a lot of the Jews still believe you had to be Christ plus circumcised. And Peter didn't want to rock the boats. He didn't want to stand the gap and make up the hedge. He went along with the previous crowd. What's wrong with that? It had an effect on a lot of people, a negative effect. And your testimony and my testimony has a lot of effect on a lot of people. They hear what we say. And to make them believe it, we must walk the walk. We must talk the talk. And he was wishy-washy. Who, Peter? Sure was. The one that wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, my favorite disciple was Peter. Well, that means he was perfect. No, he was far from perfect. I guess that's why he's my favorite disciple. Because when he done wrong and got forgiveness, he sure went four square for God. He went all the way plus some. But now he's wrong and he has to be confronted. Why? Because he has an effect, a negative effect on some other people. Read the next verse. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Hypocrisy. Barnabas, the one that we heard Brother Gunn preach Wednesday night at the ordination service. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I have to do them. Full of the Holy Ghost. But now Peter, who was a pillar in the church, and who people looked up to, and rightly so, he started dissembling himself with the Jews that believed Christ plus something. And now Barnabas is beginning to wonder if maybe that's right. See the danger of it, folks? How God has called us to stand in the gap and make up the head without wavering? if Barnabas was about to be carried away and deceived, then what about those that are even weaker in the faith? We're talking about Barnabas, a great man of God who had withstood the test. Look at the next verse. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if I, being a Jew, liveth after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compelleth I the Gentiles to live as the Jews? And that settled it. Just be what you are. It's Christ plus nothing. If you're with the Jewish people that believe wrongly, then you have to stand and say, it's Christ plus nothing. Don't be afraid of what they're going to say or do to you. It doesn't matter. You've got one job. You have been committed the task to preach the gospel. And you say the right things, but you're afraid of some backlash. And that affects others. And you and I, when we don't walk worthily and when we don't walk according to the precepts that God has laid on their heart and has committed to us the task, whether you're a father, commit to your children to rear them right, to rear them in the house of God. Or if you're a teacher or whatever you are, a preacher, you must accept the fact, the high calling of God, and esteem it highly, because if you don't, it has an effect on even the strong people in Christ. So we've looked at how we are to esteem highly the things God's committed to us, and we've looked at the effect our testimony has on others. But I want to look next at the effectual ministry. The effectual ministry. Remember what Peter told us in the Word of God, in chapter 1 and 2 of Peter, how God has laid up for us a crown of righteousness. God has our citizenship in heaven. And Peter, that great man of God, but I believe this myth straightened him out. Why? Because Paul was willing to speak truth and let him see that his backslide or his hypocrisy had a negative effect on other people. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. See, the church at Galatia, the churches at Galatia, seem to have the same problem. They had to try to satisfy the Lord and be committed to the task He told them to do. But at the same time, it seemed as though they liked to lean to man's understanding to be popular with those that believe wrong. We've seen in the Word of God that that has an effect on other people because they wasn't esteeming highly the commitment that God had given to them. Now in verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. It is Christ but nothing. The law showed us we were sinners. That's all it could do. But then when we received salvation, it was belief in Jesus Christ. And Paul started the conversation in chapter 1, verse 1, by saying, it was God and Jesus Christ that called me. It was the Holy Spirit that led me. It's Him and nothing else. It's not me. It's not my learning. It's not church. It's not anything. It's just Jesus alone. And that is an effective ministry that God has given us. The effectual working of grace in your heart. Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead and dying. We're talking about the effectual ministry of the grace of God. Grace through Jesus Christ plus nothing. Look what he says in these two verses. Actually, two of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Look at it again. It's worth reading again. And the life which I now live in the flesh. We are alive in the flesh. But there's nothing good about the flesh. It's enmity against God. And the flesh, remember what happens when we got saved? Your soul is saved, eternally saved. Your spirit has been rekindled and renewed. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. He comes into your heart to live. But we're still in the flesh. Peter was in the flesh when he was trying to justify because he was afraid that the Jews would not like him if he didn't go along with their belief. Yet he knew they were wrong. And we're in the flesh. But Paul says, I won't live in the flesh. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have Jesus Christ in our heart. We're living the faith he gave us. Yes, we're in the flesh, but we can overcome that. Then he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't set it apart. I don't disrespect it. The grace of God. I don't let it be void in my life. I do nothing to restrain it or constrain it. The grace of God has a free right in my heart. I live by the grace of God. It's my life. It's my hope. It's my joy. It's my fulfillment. I don't frustrate it, which means I don't make it null or I don't reject it. I don't slight it. Because the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the flesh. So therefore, we are to esteem highly the calling and the ministry God has given us, whether it's a father or a mother or a wife or a husband, whatever it is, and more. And then he says, the effect it has on others is very alarming. And the effective ministry of the grace of God will get us through this world with the joy of the Lord in their heart. And that's what God has given us. All the world don't like it. Religion don't like it. The political parties don't like it. But God has given us free access to the grace of God. Esteem it highly. Make much for the effectual ministry of the grace of God. Would you stand this morning, your head bowed? Brother Rain, have a song of invitation. God.